folks, and welcome to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I dive into a specific topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. This week, I'm reflecting back on January. I'm chatting about slowness, which has been my word for 2022 so far, and how I've been seeing that word show up with the other dietitians I work with who are feeling depleted and unmotivated. And I'm talking about how we can learn to lean into the ebbs and flows of our energy, to defy the hustle mentality, and learn how to live life on our own terms. Now, if you're joining me on video today, you'll see that we have a new setup. I'm up in my new attic office. It's not finished by any means. So if you can see the video, I am like strategically placed so that you don't see the piles of things that I haven't cleaned out yet. But I think it's cozy. I'm liking it so far. We'll see how the audio quality goes. You can also see my giant red microphone in the corner. If you're listening to the podcast, of course, I hope I just painted a nice little picture of how I'm chilling right now. But I want to start today by talking about my word for 2022. I talked in my opening episode of season 3 a few weeks ago that I thought that that was going to be my word. I had recorded it in December, so I hadn't fully settled on it. But the more I sat with it, the more I realized that it was the only word for me to choose. It has been calling out to me and feeling so right. So I want to talk today a little bit about how it's been going now that we're a few weeks in, how it's been coming up for my clients and other dietitians as well, which I find fascinating. And I also want to talk about the dissonance between our thoughts and our feelings. In other words, I want to talk about how it felt to embrace slowness versus how I reacted to it, because there are some interesting differences there that are worth exploring with a little bit of curiosity. Now, I want to actually start before I talk about how it's been going for me. I want to talk about how it's been coming up for other dietitians I interact with. Now, across the board, there has been a theme with how 2022 has felt for so many people. Most of the dietitians that I work with are tapped out. They're tired, they're exhausted, they're unmotivated, they're kind of just in a low place. And if you've been feeling that way too, then I want you to recognize that this isn't something wrong with you. Our collective capacities in general have been limited, and our bandwidths are compromised. We are going into 3 years of a pandemic, and we're currently in the middle of a surge that is in a lot of ways worse than it's ever been. It's not in all ways worse. And we won't go into the details. I think we hear about COVID. I know every time I click onto one of my social media feeds, I just get updates upon updates. So if you need a little break, we won't be going into too many details today. But know that it does impact it. And we're going to talk about some of the other ways that our external world can influence how motivated we feel, how focused we feel, and how productive we feel on a day-to-day basis. And I wanted to share two client examples rather than saying like, oh, in general, I've been seeing this come up. I want to talk about two different ways that I've seen it in two of my clients this month in particular. One, I have a clinical dietitian and she is in burnout, 100% in the thick of burnout. And being a clinical dietitian, she works in an ICU. She is currently seeing surges in COVID. COVID is kind of taking over the hospital, and there are all these changes in guidelines and all of the added stress. And she feels frustrated because she feels like she's doing all of the things, right? Like she's putting so much effort into trying to take care of herself and be proactive and try to heal from burnout. And it feels like nothing that she's doing is working. It feels like no matter how hard she tries, she can't get her head above water. And she certainly can't make progress. And that's discouraging, disheartening. And if you feel the same, I want you to know that there is nothing wrong with you and there is nothing that you're doing wrong. And the conversation that I had with her is that everything that she's doing, even if she's not seeing these big leaps in recovery from burnout and she's not seeing tangible change, it's still helping. Because if she weren't doing those things, it might be worse. It's simply that our coping mechanisms, our coping skills can only take us so far. And when we hit overwhelm, when our environmental circumstances push us beyond the capacities of our current coping skills, then we are going to be treading water a little bit. I saw a quote on social media just before recording this that said something to the effect of, nobody's thriving right now. It's not just you. And that's okay. It's hard to hear. And trust me, as a fixer, as a helper, I wish that I could go in and make it all better and just help you in leaps and bounds. But sometimes we have to kind of wait out the storm a little bit and be patient, as hard as that is for us. I know. So if you're feeling that way, know that you're not alone and that everything that you can do, all of the compassion that you can muster for yourself, for what you're going through and how you're dealing with it, you're doing a great job. Another one of my dietitians recently left one of her part-time jobs that was causing a lot of stress and a little bit of burnout. And she finally finds herself having all of this time on her hands because she doesn't have the hours from one job and she hasn't yet transitioned up to full-time hours in her other part-time job. And so she finally has all this time. And yet she says that she gets to the end of the day and she's like, I still feel like I'm not doing anything. Like I have all this time, so to speak, yet where does it even go? It's like I blink and I don't do anything. We were talking about how she has ideas of what she wants to do in her spare time or free time, but she either doesn't have the motivation or time gets away from her. And then we shifted into a conversation about how she feels guilty for having all this time and for doing something maybe unproductive, quote unquote, like watching Netflix, because no one else around her is embracing slowness. And so, of course, we had a whole conversation about slowness at that point, because it felt like everyone around her was setting goals and resolutions and starting the new year off on a good foot and working towards things and working hard and being ambitious. And she wasn't seeing this other side, this embracing slowness, this resting, this being okay, not rushing through and trying to figure out how much you can possibly achieve in a day. And it reminded me so much of both the first principle of intuitive eating, as well as my own first principle of intuitive living, which I have a podcast scheduled for. I'm hoping it's later this month. It'll be next month at the absolute latest, about my full framework, which is 10 principles of intuitive living for dietitians. And it's specifically taken or adapted from the intuitive eating model, which again, we'll talk about in another episode. But it reminds me so much of our work with clients if we're in the intuitive eating space. Principle one of intuitive eating is reject the diet mentality. And you may have someone who walks into your office And they are all on board with ditching diet culture and recognizing it and understanding its harms. And they have this nice, beautiful, like, cocoon that they're in when they're with you. And then they leave your office and they don't see you for a week, 2 weeks, maybe. If they're in the hospital and you're not in outpatient or private practice, then maybe you don't even get that much time with them. Maybe all you have is 15 minutes to introduce them to this concept before they're discharged. And then they go back into the quote unquote real world, and their friends and their family and every commercial they see and all the targeted ads on social media are all promoting diet culture, and they're surrounded by it, and they don't see other people embracing this, right? And that makes it hard. It makes it hard when we live in a world where one way of thinking is so dominant that we have a hard time shifting to something else. We have a hard time rejecting it, and we can have compassion for that client. And so I'm asking you then to take that compassion that you already feel for your clients or your patients that you work with for having a hard time making these changes, even if it's not diet culture. Any change is hard if they're surrounded by messaging that goes against it. And I want you to take that compassion that you can feel for them, and I want you to turn it inwards too. Because embracing slowness in a world built on hustle is just as hard. My first principle of intuitive living is rejecting the hustle mentality. I view it as kind of an extension of diet culture. Rather, diet culture is more of an extension of the hustle mentality. The hustle and grind is toxic capitalism, you know, capitalism that has gone awry, or depending on how you look at it, maybe doing exactly what it was designed to do. But it is this idea that if we are not constantly working and improving and growing and learning and bettering ourselves, if we're not constantly climbing the ladder and trying to advance ourselves and our lives, then we're doing something wrong. And so the messaging becomes, the more you can do, the better. The faster you can do it, the better. And so we don't see a lot of people embracing slowness. Maybe a little bit more. It depends. I might be biased because I've been working on curating social media feeds that are going to align with that, the same way that when someone is ditching the diet mentality, it helps to curate social media feeds that are going to expose them to this same line of thinking, because it is so hard if you only have one person. If my client doesn't have anybody in their life, either in person or online, who is giving them these messages except for the 1 hour that she has with me, then it's going to be harder. And so we're really not seeing it out there. And if you feel like you've been drawn to slowness, and yet there's a part of you that feels like there's something wrong with you, like you're just complacent, in quotes, you're just not trying hard enough, or maybe you feel unmotivated because you simply want to exist for a little bit, or you don't really feel like you have the energy to push, that's okay. And I want to pause here for a minute and talk a little bit about the difference between our inner experience versus the messaging that we get on the outside. And when I talk about inner experience, there are going to be some external influences that I talk about, but I want to talk about them through the way that they impact our inner experience and our energy levels. And so one of the big messages that we get especially this time of year in January, is that it's this clean slate. It's time to set goals. We have to start the year off right. In other words, we get the messaging that it's time to push, right? You know, maybe December was our time to just relax, but now it's a new year. We have to like hit the ground running and we want to go, go, go. And we want to see the progress and we want to implement these changes and really get going. And if you haven't, if you've fallen off of your resolutions or goals by the end of January, well, that's just proof that you weren't trying hard enough, right? There was a Facebook post that I saw in a dietitian group, and it was a dietitian sharing her annual goals for 2022. She had sat down and kind of planned out all the goals that she wants to have in all of 2022, the entire year, annual goal planning. And she shared them in this one particular group for accountability and everything. And most of the comments were very supportive. There was one comment, though, that stood out to me. It was a guy. No shade to the men who are listening. But I do find that whenever I'm listening to a like cisgender, heterosexual male, like motivational speaker or coach or something like that, I find that there's a lot of this like capitalist messaging, this kind of more is better, just do it, like Nike type messaging. If you don't struggle, you're not going to grow kind of thing. I know it's not all men. We know that. But it is a theme that I've noticed. So this guy comments and says in something to the effect of like, why don't you push yourself harder and try to achieve all of these in January? I'm sorry. Did you just say that in the middle of the surge of Omicron, going on year three of a pandemic, you want to encourage someone who you don't know to take 12 months worth of goals and try to cram those into 31 days? Now, look, I talked a lot in my first episode of this season about goal planning and goal setting and how the very first thing that you have to do is you have to know yourself. You have to know what motivates you and what doesn't. And I also alluded to the fact that I can kind of put more goals on my plate than I can necessarily achieve. And that doesn't personally throw me off too much. As long as I'm careful about not getting overwhelmed by everything, then if the worst thing that happens is that I don't achieve them on time, it doesn't discourage me. It doesn't spark imposter thoughts in me. I just shift the timeline and say, okay, well, I didn't get these done. So if that's you and you feel motivated by trying to tackle it all, then by all means, go for it. It's not automatically bad advice. The issue that I find is that basically every dietitian I've ever worked with in the past 3 years and the dietitians that I talk to on a regular basis, that's not how their brain works. Generally speaking, taking 12 months of goals and trying to focus on them all at once is going to trigger overwhelm. It's going to feel so daunting, and it's likely to trigger stress and anxiety and feeling like you're not doing enough or you're not good enough, right? Or just burn you out because you're trying to be so ambitious. And this is this general hustle mindset that we're caught in. It's extra intense this time of year, but don't get me wrong. This is throughout the entire year that we're hearing this kind of message. If you can do something in 3 months, why not do it in 1 month? If you can do two goals, why not try to do five? It's this more is better. You can handle it. You can do anything. And I find that what is intended to be inspirational often backfires and leaves us feeling completely shot and depleted. And then we start comparing ourselves to others and we think, well, if this person is recommending it to me, then someone's doing it. So why can't I do it? And so I had to leave a comment. I didn't reply to the guy. I simply said, you know, hey, we're in the midst of a pandemic. A lot of our bandwidths are shot. And you get to decide what pace you go at. Now might not be the time to try to be your most ambitious self, and that's okay. And this reminder that it's okay to slow down. Fast is not always better. It's okay to take a whole year to achieve your goals. It's okay to take 5 years to achieve your goals, 10 years. There's no time limit on any of this. And I want to pause one more time and ask you, how did my episode on goal planning make you feel? Because my hope is that it encouraged you to think about goals and resolutions in a new way. It encouraged you to set ones that work for you and your life in this moment. And so if you're feeling depleted, then maybe choosing a word like slowness, like I have, and not necessarily setting goals to do things, but focusing more on being rather than doing. So that's my hope. But of course, I'm still an external message. I'm still someone from the outside giving you advice on your life. And most of you listening, I don't know you. And so whenever you're getting a message from the outside, I want you to pause and say, how does this feel? How does this sit with me? Does this messaging align with my values? Does this messaging align with my experience? And if the answer is no, then maybe it's not the right time for you to hear that message. Or maybe you want to interpret it a different way. Because ultimately, I find that we have to pay attention to our inner world the same way in intuitive eating, we're learning to tune back in to what our body is telling us, and what our intuition and our wisdom is telling us, right? We have to do the same thing with our life. That's why I have an intuitive living framework, not because you have to be an intuitive eating dietitian to get supervision help, but because so much of our challenges and our struggles as a profession are stemming from this disconnect from ourselves. And so I want to take a moment to talk about how our inner experience in January, especially this January in particular, may not be set up for the push. January is actually not the greatest time for like clean slate, hit the ground running kind of thing. If you look at how the rest of the world is operating, it's more in modern living that we've become disconnected from natural cycles. We exist within cyclical experiences. Right? We learn in cyclical ways. We grow cyclically. Is cyclically a word? That doesn't sound right. We grow in cycles. Very, very few things are linear, but we treat them as though they are. So I want to talk to you about cycles, and I would encourage you as we round out this month, and I'm posting this January 30th, I believe. So you may even be listening to this in February as we start off a new month. I want you to think about cycles, and I want you to start paying attention to things. So this is something that we don't think about. Again, it's influenced by capitalism. It's influenced by patriarchy. You'll hear me talk about these systems quite a bit. And again, I'll do the disclaimer I give every single time I mention those words, because sometimes they make people uncomfortable. I'm not here in today's episode to say what's right, wrong, good, bad, nothing. I'm not here to pass judgment on a system. I'm here to say that, like it or not, these are the systems that we operate under. And like it or not, no system is without its flaws or without its consequences. And so we have to recognize the influence that these systems have on our everyday life. Talk about this a lot with my clients. And the influence that capitalism and patriarchy have on our work ethic is going to be a preference for sustained energy, right? We're expected to show up to our jobs, whether our jobs are in our attics like mine or at a hospital, at an actual facility. We're expected to show up with our A game, 100%, right? Like, we're machines. It doesn't matter if we had a headache. It doesn't matter if we didn't sleep well the last night. It doesn't matter if we experienced an illness or death in the family. It doesn't matter what's going on in our personal lives. We're expected to put our game face on and show up. Push those emotions down, push physical pain down or mental pain down, and show up. And we are supposed to be efficient and productive as much as humanly possible. And that is very much aligned with the capitalistic, like, more is better, always putting more out, trying to be as efficient as possible. The way that patriarchy influences it is going to deal with cycles. And we're going to talk a little bit about a menstrual cycle. And now, to be fair, not all women menstruate. And there are men who menstruate, right? Like, people. So, but when we talk about patriarchy, the ones who hold the power, we're talking about cisgender heterosexual men primarily. And that group of people doesn't experience usually the hormonal fluctuations that a person who menstruates does. And because of that, their day-to-day experience is more consistent. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But our work week, our work schedules are not set up to have ebbs and flows in energy. They're set up for, okay, it's 9 a.m. I'm clocking in. I'm going to work hard until 5 p.m. and then I'm going to clock out and go home. Do you know what else our systems are not designed for? They're not designed for two working adults. They're not designed for working hard and then coming home and having all of the childcare to do and all of the house the chores around the house to do and all of the errands to run. Our work system was built primarily on men working and women staying home and working full time in the house. And now we have a lot of role reversals, or we have dual income families out of necessity. And so when we're talking about energy and productivity, we're not only talking about, okay, well, I'm working for an 8-hour day, whether that's around the house or at a job, you know, a conventional job. We're talking about, well, I now have to work all day long on the thing that makes me money. And then I have to work all afternoon and on weekends on keeping the house afloat, keeping the family afloat. So all of this to say, sustained energy 24/7 is not realistic for many of us. And so if the outer messaging of work harder, constantly be achieving, constantly be doing more, just put your mind to it and you can do it, if that's exhausting, if that overwhelms you, there's nothing wrong with you. And I want you to take some time during this episode, after this episode, to pause and think about your inner experience. And I want you to start gaining some self-awareness about how your energy changes throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. And we're going to talk about some of the ways that we collectively experience that through the different cycles in our lives. And then you can take those generalities and get curious about how those fit into your own life. So let's talk about one of the biggest cycles, and that's going to be really the year-long cycle of seasons. We are currently in January. In the Northern Hemisphere, it is winter. Now, I'd be very curious to hear from dietitians who, for example, live in Australia or New Zealand, where it's summer right now. I would be curious to know if your energy feels different this time of year, and if your winter feels more like what I'm describing as right now. I'd also be really curious to hear from dietitians who live in locations where the climate doesn't vary as much. Now, I live in New Jersey. There's currently snow on the ground as I speak. And so there are some pretty stark contrasts in seasons in terms of the weather, how bright it is outside, the temperatures, everything. Right? It changes dramatically. So again, get curious about where you live. Do you live in Southern California where the temperature change doesn't change that much? Or like Hawaii, for example, where, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I only spent a very short time there. But I'm pretty sure it's what, like 75 most days throughout the year. It's pretty consistent. So I would be curious to know if you experience the same seasonal shift in energy or if it's a little bit different. But for now, I'm going to speak to my experience, which again is with, you know, winter being now in January and winter being categorized by significantly colder weather, sometimes snow, shortening of days, waking up and it's a little bit cloudy and dark. It gets dark pretty early here too. Right? And now think about what animals do around this time of year. Are they like busy bees constantly trying to like build and grow and do all the things? No. Most animals right now are resting. They might not be all out hibernating, but they're slowing down, right? They're taking a step back. What are we doing this month? We're saying like pedal to the metal, let's go. Let's crush our goals. Like we're trying to muster all of this energy and motivation when in reality, winter is more a time to rest and take a step back and slow down. And so if you're feeling a little bit slower, if you're not feeling super motivated, if you're feeling lower energy, maybe not like physically tired, but just kind of lower energy, then maybe it's because winter isn't the right season for you to be like pushing forward. It might be a time for you to set goals. Maybe it's a time for you to take a step back and reflect and work on this self-awareness and think about what you want to be working towards. But maybe you wait until the weather warms up, where the days get a little longer, the sun shines a little bit brighter. Maybe you wait until your energy comes back to really push and implement these goals. Maybe January, February, March are more months for you to be doing some of the foundational work, doing some small things here or there, not making these big, grand, sweeping gestures. And again, that's not necessarily black and white. We all experience seasons differently, and our energies may change differently. This is only one hypothesis that you can test out and see, how does this sit with me? What is the rest of the world doing right now? What are other living things, prioritizing at this time? And do I feel more drawn to those things? How can I lean into that and make that work for me? Because the reality is that we don't have to have this sustained momentum 365 days of the year. There are going to be days and weeks and months and periods of your life where you need to take a step back. I will say that I didn't bring it up with me. I wish I had it to show you. I am currently using a cycles journal. So of course I'm very into this stuff right now. And it is set up for menstrual cycles, which we'll talk a little bit about when we get into that, but it's also designed for people who don't menstruate. They're very inclusive in their language. And if you don't menstruate, then you're more likely to follow a lunar cycle, which we'll also talk about in a minute, but they talk a lot about seasons. They talk about inner seasons and they talk about outer seasons. Every single day when I journal, it asks me to comment on the weather. There's little diagrams. There's a picture of a sun and then like partly cloudy, cloudy, rain or precipitation and storm. And they encourage you to not only document what the weather was outside, but what was the weather inside? What is your inner experience like today, this month, this season? Get curious about it. Now, as I mentioned, one of the other cycles that we tend to talk a lot about is the lunar cycle. You know that I'm into this if you've heard me talk about my new moon intention setting. Something that I don't necessarily talk as much about is how our own energy can change each 28-day cycle. Each phase of the moon. And so throughout the month, you may notice that your energy changes, even beyond what season it is. For example, when January started, it was a new moon. The new moon was January 2nd, I believe. It's now as I'm recording this on January 18th. It is just after a full moon. So the full moon was yesterday. And by the time you listen to this, it's going to be the end of January, early February. We're going to be pretty much at a new moon again. Now, each of the four phases has a different energy. The full moon being the one that sparks usually the most energy. It's more of the take action phase. So we kind of have this cycle that we go through where we start at the new moon and it's about kind of taking a step back, reflecting, setting our intentions, becoming self-aware, really this more introspective stuff. Then as we move into the first quarter, we're starting to kind of figure out what actions we're taking. We're starting to build up that momentum. And then we finally peak at the full moon where we're supposed to have this surge of energy and productivity and inspiration and creative energy and all that good stuff. And then it's going to come back down again. And we're going to start to take another step back and reflect on that big push that we just had. Preparing for the new moon, preparing to come back down to the bottom and say, okay, what was the last month like? What do I need now? What messages do I want to be focusing on? And then go right back into that cycle all over again. Now, again, your inner experience may not line up perfectly with the moon. It's not saying that every single human on this planet gets a surge of energy around every full moon. There's also a lot more complexity that we have to pay attention to if we're getting into astrology. Whether the full moon is in one sign versus another may affect you differently. It's going to be beyond the scope of today. But suffice it to say, again, it's not so much saying, oh, Jess said that it's the new moon, so I shouldn't have energy right now. And it's more about saying, what kind of energy do I have? And then looking to the cycles that we're in and seeing how it aligns, seeing, do you notice that maybe the full moon for you is a quieter time? Maybe a new moon is a higher energy time for you. Figure out what your inner cycle is. Figure out what your pattern is, right? That's why I said during this episode, after this episode, take some time to really learn how your unique energy ebbs and flows. Now, one of the ways that this can have a layer of complexity to it is if you are a person who menstruates, then maybe your energy is more tied to your menstrual cycle than anything else. And it's funny, I had one of my clients recently posted in a Facebook group of ours saying that she was feeling extra emotional. She was having a hard day. And on top of that, she said, "I'm sure it doesn't help that my period is coming." And she said in parentheses, she apologized, "I'm sorry if that's TMI." And I'm here to say, it is not TMI. If we as dietitians can proudly talk about poop with our clients, because it's important to talk about, I'm here to say we can talk about periods too. And I know not every single dietitian menstruates for a wide variety of reasons, but because so many of the dietitians out there do, it is important for us to talk about and understand. And if you are a person who menstruates, I highly recommend taking time to get to know your unique cycle and how you feel. Now, just like there are four phases of the moon, and there are four cycles in, or four seasons in the year, there are four phases of a menstrual cycle. We have the actual menstrual phase, the bleed, right? And that's known as the inner winter. And so the energy that you think of associating with winter time is what you're likely associating with this time. Then you move into the follicular phase, which is known as the inner spring. And that may be where you kind of come out of hibernation and you're starting to feel a little bit more of that generative energy, that creative energy, a little bit more. Then you move into the ovulatory phase, which is known as the inner summer. And this is what lines up with summer, the full moon, I've got creative energy, I'm taking charge and taking action. And then we move back into the luteal phase of inner autumn, where we're starting to slow down again. We're starting to prepare for a return to the menstrual phase, a return to that winter, a return to that hibernation mode. And again, your experience may be different from that. This is not black and white, tried and true. There's no way but this way, right? This is simply a generality. And so the more you get to know how your phases work, how long is each phase for you? How intense does each phase feel? How does your energy align with those phases? One of the really cool things about this journal, which again, I wish that I could flash it up on the camera for everyone who's watching the video version of this, but I'll definitely have it in the show notes and everything so you can link to it. I think it's so wonderful. It's not an ad, by the way. I don't get anything for it. I'm just using it now and really enjoy it. There's basically a symptom tracker, or it's like a symptom / habit tracker. And it talks about your energy. It talks about habits that you might be doing. It talks about your sleep and your care and all of these other things, your mood. And you can track it throughout every day, throughout the month. And it shows you where the moon is at. It shows you where you're at in your phase and your cycle. Again, if you're not a person who menstruates, you can do it just based off of the lunar cycle rather than your menstrual cycle. So you don't need to have that component in it. And it's so helpful to recognize that, a few weeks ago, I had a week where I didn't have a lot of energy at all. I was just not feeling productive. I was not feeling focused. My anxiety was heightened. And now this past week, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling happier. I'm feeling more motivated. I want to be productive. I want to do things. And so instead of trying to force ourselves to do things every second of every day, or force ourselves to do something on a day or a week that we don't have that capacity, maybe we need to trust that that capacity is at a low point and it is going to swing back up into a higher point if we trust it and give it time. And so we can learn how to adjust our workload. Again, I know not all of this is within our control, depending on what job we have, but we can either adjust our workload based on how our energy ebbs and flows, or if we can adjust our workflow, because that's beyond our control, then we can adjust what we do off work hours. We can adjust how much compassion we need, how much transition time we need. We can figure out what we do with our personal time to try to balance out the demands of our work schedule if we can't change the work itself. So all of this to say, we're not, as living creatures, designed to be go, go, go all the time. And there are going to be days where we don't feel motivated, and it's going to be inconvenient because it's a time that we, like, quote unquote, really should be. And that's the nature of being a human with variable energy levels and all different things going on in our lives, in a world that expects consistency and continued growth. So I hope that that was helpful to give you an idea of where you can be going, and maybe some validation if you haven't been feeling like you've really been, like, seizing 2022 and, like, making the most of it. That's okay. Maybe you will in April. Maybe you will in July. Maybe you won't in 2022. It's also okay to not set goals. It's okay to coast. It's okay to tread water. It's okay to simply be. So if you want to simply be, let's come back to slowness. I want to check in with how it's been going for me. Maybe give you some ideas and circle back. So some of the things that I've been doing to embrace slowness, one of the things is I've been waking up earlier. I went back and forth with this because on the one hand, I feel like embracing slowness means letting myself sleep as long as I want and not feeling like I have to wake up to an alarm. But ultimately what I decided I needed was more time in the mornings. I wanted a slower morning because when I wake up later, then by the time I'm up and I walk Toby and I come back and I feed him and I feed myself, and if I shower, then all of a sudden I'm rushing to get into my first appointment. So I am waking up an hour earlier, nothing crazy. It's still not that early. I wake up at 7, and that gives me a little bit more time where I can slow down. I've been able to meditate most mornings, so I'm working on getting back into my meditation practice. I may even check something off of my personal to-do list before I start work for the day and working on my professional business tasks. And if I need to sit, or if I want to do a yoga stretch, or if I need to run an errand or whatever I need for that morning, I have a little bit more time. I'm not rushing. When it comes to meditating, that's something that I've been very happy to get back into. I used to have a strong meditation practice, and it fell out when I moved in with Justin, and never really brought it back full time. So it's time. And one thing that I have been doing is I have the app called My Life. I know a lot of people are fans of, like, Headspace and Calm and all of that. I haven't used them personally. And again, I don't have any affiliate link or relationship with My Life. It's simply the one that I started with, and I've really loved them. I do have the premium version of them, and the series that I'm doing right now, I believe, is part of the premium package. But from what I remember, they have a good amount of free content as well. And basically what I started off with was they're offering a 31-day mindfulness series where each day they give you a new activity, and it's usually meditation, but some days it is journaling or something similar to that. And it's all about rooting yourself in the present moment, becoming compassionate, self-aware, aware of your surroundings, and non-reactive, which are all so, so beneficial for us as practitioners. So I've really been enjoying that. And when I say I'm meditating for like 30 minutes, I'm usually only meditating for maybe like 5 to 8 right now. I might work my way up to closer to 10, but most of the guided meditations that I'm doing right now are only in the 5 to 8 minute range. Okay? So I'm not starting off with anything crazy. I'm just working on that and seeing how it feels. I also don't start seeing clients until a little later. My earliest appointment now is 10. It used to be like 9 or 9:30. And again, that's just to give me a little bit more space. I felt like slowness to me meant transition time. We don't talk a lot about that, but having some nice, beautiful transition time from being able to wear one hat and taking that hat off and wearing another. I've also been trying to do things like I'm reading more. I've been checking out books at my library very regularly, which has been nice. I'm trying to scroll less, especially at night. And I'm trying to stay more present, especially during the less fun tasks. I had kind of an aha moment with cooking because I used to love being in the kitchen. I used to love cooking and baking. I went to culinary school. Like, this was my jam. And especially over the pandemic, it just became such a chore. And I wasn't enjoying it and I was dreading it and I was resentful of it. And I thought to myself, like, I have to be doing this. Like, there's not really a way around it. I can make it shorter. I can make it simple. My husband can help me most nights if he's home early enough. For sure. All of those things. But ultimately it's still going to be a minimum, like 1 hour, at least a few times a week. So I might as well try to be present and enjoy it and try to tap back in to shift it away from being a chore, something that I've labeled as being bad, to a time to my own thoughts or a time for me to listen to music or a time for me to listen to a podcast or to turn all the music off and listen to the sounds of the knife on the cutting board, right? To have that time to experiment and try something new and get creative. And honestly, it's been helping so much. I won't say that a task like, you know, cleaning the bathroom becomes something that I look forward to. Still a chore, still one of my least favorite chores, but it becomes something that is tolerable and it's no longer something that I resent. So working on that has been helpful. And I've also been decreasing my mental clutter by cleaning up my to-do list. That's not necessarily slowness, but really just like simplifying and allowing me to take a big deep breath in, because I think sometimes it's hard to slow down when our anxiety is really heightened. You know, we're not breathing deeply. We're not relaxing. We've got all this stuff in our heads that we're trying to remember and juggle, that it's hard to slow down. So by decreasing the mental clutter a little bit, I'm still working on cleaning up the digital clutter, email inbox, all the pictures on my phone, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, little by little, I'm working on cleaning out physical and digital and mental clutter. And that's really allowing me to slow down a little bit more. So now I want to end today by talking about how all of this feels and how I've been reacting to it, because it sounds all like bright and shiny to say like, oh, I'm embracing slowness and I'm meditating and I'm doing all the things and I feel wonderful. And on the one hand, that's very true. I do feel fantastic with it. I feel less stressed. My anxiety has diffused a bit. I am happier. For sure. I'm more connected. I feel more fulfilled. All of the beautiful things that I was hoping for. That doesn't mean that every part of me has embraced it 100%. And that doesn't mean that the rational, or I don't know if it's the rational part of my brain, the analytical part of my brain is all that happy about it. I want to talk about an experience that I had on a Sunday a few weeks ago. Now, Sundays are really like my one day off. It's the day off that both Justin and I share because he works 6 days a week and I do work some Saturdays. So Sundays become like the day to be off. And I went through the day. We had some chores to do. We did those. And I sat down and I felt like reading. So I let myself read. And after maybe an hour, it's like, I don't really want to keep reading. It was the evening at that point. It was probably around 6 o'clock. And I thought about what I wanted to do. And the answer was nothing. I didn't want to read. I didn't want to watch TV. I didn't want to scroll on TikTok or Instagram. I didn't want to play a computer game. I didn't want to play a board game. Like, I went through all of the things that I could do with this spare time that I had. And ultimately, all I wanted was to just kind of like sit and be. And immediately, I started to feel almost like a FOMO, I can't do that. Like, if I just sit here and do nothing, I'm just wasting my whole night. I'm throwing my night away. It's my one like day that I have to relax. And I just feel like I always waste my Sundays. Hold on. And as I went down this spiral, I caught myself and I said, that's really interesting. That's a really interesting thought that I'm having. And I started to get curious about it. So if you notice that you are not letting yourself do the thing that you want to do, you have an urge to slow down, but you're having a hard time giving yourself permission to it, or you're judging yourself for it, or you're saying you could do activity A, but sitting and staring up at the ceiling, that's not an acceptable use of your time. The first thing I want you to do is get curious. Ask yourself questions like, where did that thought come from? Where did I learn that from? How did I internalize that? And for me, what it came down to was realizing that as much as I've learned to divest myself of the hustle culture and the hustle mentality you were talking about in the beginning, it still sneaks into some aspects of my rest where I've unconsciously assigned value to some forms of how I spend my time versus others. That if I wanted to read, that was an okay use of my Sunday. But if I just wanted to sit and like cuddle with Toby or rest my eyes or focus on my breathing without formally meditating, that somehow was a waste. That it was somehow a waste to be sitting and being without doing something. And that's something that I wanted to challenge, because the next question we want to ask ourselves is this messaging still serving me? And for me, the answer was no. If I want to sit and do nothing, then that's what I want to do. And who's to say that that's a waste of my time? Because the second thing that we have to do to respond to that kind of reaction, when we want to slow down, but our like brain starts resisting it, is to learn how to be true to ourselves. I'm not living my life how other people are living theirs. I'm living my life how I want to, in a way that fills me up. And if that means that I spend my time differently from how someone else spends their time, that doesn't make one of our lives more or less fulfilling. It doesn't make one of us better than the other. It's all about staying true to us. And that's the thought, this thought of, I'm making choices to live life on my terms, and I'm making decisions that are right for me, no matter what other people think. That thought brings me so much peace. And I hope that you can get to that place too. Now, before I end today's episode, it's a long one, isn't it? I think this one's even longer than an hour. It's okay. Before I end today's episode, I have one announcement, And that is that now that we're coming to the end of January, beginning of February, the doors to my one-on-one supervision program are closed. I'm not accepting new one-on-one clients at this time. However, the doors to my waitlist for my upcoming group program, I'm going to be relaunching my group, launching a second cohort in March. The waitlist for that is open. So if you're sitting here saying like, I want to embrace slowness, I want to learn how to be true to myself and say like, F it to what other people are doing or what society tells me I should do. If you want to build a career on your terms and really have a life as a dietitian and a human that lights you up, come join me in my group. It's a community space that I absolutely adore, and I will be the one talking to you about slowness and connecting to yourself and feeling really confident about who you are as a person, as a dietitian, as both. So if you're interested in learning more about the waitlist, it's not, what do I want to say? There's no obligation. There we go. Those are the words. There's no obligation to signing up for the waitlist. If you sign up for the waitlist for the group, it simply means you're raising your hand and saying, hey, I want to learn more information. I want to be kept up to date so that I can decide if this is something that I want to do in the future. The groups won't be starting until March. So we've still got some time, but I'll be sending out some sneak peeks of the group and some more information and all of that over the coming weeks. And you'll be the first to hear about it if you're on the list. There will also be a nice incentive for joining the list. As of now, again, I'm recording this January 18th. So I'm in the beginning of the planning process. So I don't know exactly what that'll be. It'll likely be a discount off of the main price, but as I'm recording this, I can't tell you exactly. But again, you'll learn all about what the incentive is for as a thank you for being on the waiting list, whether it's a bonus one-on-one time with me or a discount off of the price of the program, something to that effect. You can find all that out by joining the waitlist. So I hope you do that. You can sign up at my website, empoweringdietitians.com/group waitlist, all one word, GROUPWAITLIST. Hope I spelled that right. Group waitlist. Or again, it'll be in my show notes. It'll be in the outro. It'll be everywhere. So I hope you'll join us. And no matter what, I hope you'll take some time after this recording to do a little check-in with yourself and figure out where your energy is and what you need, regardless of what everyone else out there is talking about. Right? Enjoy the rest of your day, folks, and I will see you next week. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, if you found yourself nodding along, feeling seen and heard as a dietitian, I want to invite you to join the waiting list for the next cohort of my group program. The dietitians I work with get unparalleled support in their journeys to overcoming imposter feelings, reconnecting to and clarifying their deeper purpose as a dietitian, and fostering the strong sense of self they need to have the freedom to live life on their terms. Signing up for the waiting list involves zero commitment on your part. It's simply you raising your hand and saying, hey, I'd like to know more about this. Plus, you'll gain access to exclusive inside looks into the program and special offers if you do choose to enroll. You can sign up for free at www.empoweringdietitians.com/group waitlist. That's group waitlist, all one word. If even a small part of you is wishing you could learn more from me about how to feel confident, passionate, and connected to your work as a dietitian, sign up today. The waitlist is only open for new signups for a short time, so head to www.empoweringdietitians.com/group waitlist to grab your spot.